got a big show today. The Sandpoint Film Festival is here. Janice Jarzabek, Judy Matlows, and Rob Lindener will be talking about the 11th annual Sandpoint Film Festival, which is coming right up. Shall we talk about the film festival? Do you have anything else you want to address, Carrie?
I do not. I do not have anything else to address, and I'd love for us to talk with our guests about the film festival.
Okay. It's the 11th annual Sandpoint Film Festival, and who would like to give the general overview? What are the details? When is it? Where is it? What is it? That kind of
stuff.
That
sounds like Janice.
Okay. Introduce yourself, Janice.
Good morning, Jack, Carrie, and Rob, and Jimmy. We will be holding our 11th annual Sandpoint Film Festival on Sunday, October 29th. At the Panetta Theater, there will be two blocks, 4 till 6 and 7 till 9.
And these are short films?
They are short films.
Okay.
20 minutes and under. GPG rated.
Okay. So pretty much any all ages, it sounds like.
Yes.
Oh. And this is is it the first film festival without Eric?
You know it is.
Yeah. And it's dedicated to Eric, of course, Eric Darstad.
We'll dedicate this one to Eric Darstad, who we all know and love in town. And Eric was a close friend of mine, and we ran the film festival for 10 years together, had a lot of fun. And we're surely going to miss him this year.
Eric was an award-winning documentary cinematographer, for the most part, right?
That was his. Yes, he won an Academy Award for a short documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Back, I believe it was in 1964.
And lived here for many years.
He did.
Yeah.
Raised his family here.
Mm-hmm. The film festival consists of how many films, and like from where do you get them?
Well, this year we have 31 films, and they're starting in North Idaho all the way around the globe to Malaysia, Russia, France.
Cool. When did you start kind of working on this, putting this together, the saying time to do, or, you know, it's time for another film festival? Does it start immediately after the last year is over? You start planning for next year?
Well, you know, it did until the COVID hit. So
yeah,
I kind of took 21 and 22 off. There was just too much going on. So I worked through an outfit called Film Freeway, where it's a clearinghouse, if you will, for filmmakers to submit their films, and they may choose whatever criteria their film is and send it in. Sometimes there's a charge and sometimes there isn't. I don't charge because money really gets in the way.
So how many films did you look at before, you know, to determine these 31?
Well, this year it was 2010. And Film Freeway. Well, that's because it's free and everyone throws their hat in the ring. Uh-huh. And a lot of them dismiss the criteria, and I get a lot of stuff that isn't what I'm looking for.
Uh-huh.
So you can usually tell within the first minute of a film if it's something that would be, you know, appropriate for our film festival.
Yeah. And what is appropriate for your film festival, do you think, for the Sandpoint Film Festival?
Well,
what are you looking for?
Good filmmaking. Mm-hmm. You know, a good story. And, of course, you always look at the sound, the costuming, the pacing. And like I said, it's really about the storyline for me. And that's what I was taught by Eric. It's always about the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring Jimmy Matlows and Rob Lindener into the conversation. How are you guys involved in the film festival this year?
I was asked to put together the playlist and make sure everything runs smoothly, and I also had a film that I completed late this summer, so I had the privilege and honor to also be able to submit into this one this year.
Okay, so you're a director? So you're the director of the film, or producer, or what are you?
Yes, and yes.
Yes and yes. Okay.
All the hats.
Yeah.
So yours is titled Cosmic Taxi?
Yeah.
Near Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it germinated out of a need to encourage myself at a time when I was, we'll just say I was in a learning curve at the time in my life. And I wrote a short script. I just wrote it down in a notebook that I had. And it resonated with me, just rereading it. So I stashed it. And then I knew that at some point I wanted to create something out of that. And so that happened this year.
So when you do, your film is 5 minutes long. So do you use local people as actors in what you've done, or?
Yes.
Yes.
In this case, yes. I think in most cases, there's a lot of talent around here.
Mm-hmm.
And for this particular one, I didn't go the normal routes to find the people that I was going to use to act in it. I wanted to find people that I knew that maybe had a story, their own personal story that might work with this. And so this was my attempt to do that.
Cool.
And Jimmy, what do you do? You got a film in there too, right?
I do. Yes. This is Jimmy. I'm getting closer to the mic here.
Thank you.
Yes. Janice and I have been friends for quite a while, as well as Eric Darstead. And I got to meet him 10, 12 years ago and considered him a friend and an associate because I'm a cinematographer as well for my career. I've submitted films with Janice before, and she's been so gracious to honor me. And this year I submitted a film called Alone, which I made during 2020, during the height of COVID. Actually, I started writing it right when COVID hit. And then I also made a mini documentary about Eric himself, which was part of my mini documentary series, which I was doing about Sandpoint called Sandpoint Mini Docs. Hmm. Yeah. So both are going to be screening at the festival.
It's a mix of what? Documentary and what do you call the other kind of movie?
So the other film is called, so the documentary about Eric, like I said, it's about his life and it has a certain point to it about Sandpoint itself. Alone, Alone was made and my reaction to just what was ever going on in my head. And I wanted to make a non-linear film that was, purely artistic in nature. Mm. The movie Memento, the Christopher Nolan film, is a nonlinear film. So I actually took that film and I re-edited it so it would be linear. So in my mind, I would understand how nonlinear worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I made Alone and filmed it in and around the area of Sandpoint, where I was living at the time, out in Kootenai, at various locations, and had to cast myself because during COVID, couldn't really be around people. And so it became a very internal introspect about where I was at in life and then playing with the word and the concept of being alone.
So you used two words there that I don't understand at all. You described linear versus nonlinear in a film. So explain to me what that means.
Oh, okay. Linear storytelling would be, if you were to have a film during the course of a day, the person wakes up in the morning, the lunch happens noon, dinner, and then they go to bed. If it was nonlinear, you might start at night when they go to bed, and then you may cut to them having lunch, and then your next cut may be them getting up out of bed, and the next cut may be something else. And the most challenging part of that is telling a story that someone can watch and not feel completely confused.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, but there is a part of it, there's a sleight of hand where you want to make people lean into it and try to figure it out as opposed to pulling back going, I don't get it. No, you will have that, of course. Yeah. Hmm. And just so I can expand upon that, this is all part of my normal career as a filmmaker, as a cinematographer, and a company I started in Idaho, the Idaho Film Company. Yeah.
I have just a general question. When I was a kid, I went to the Madera Theater and I watched movies. And now movies are called films, or maybe not all movies are called films. So will you explain the use of those words?
Depends on who you talk to.
It's just words. It doesn't mean a lot. The irony is that we don't make films generally on film anymore. And they're not even projected on film anymore. They're, say, 90% of them are digital. I think Spielberg and Christopher Nolan are two of the few who actually still make films on film, actually exposing negative film. And, but it's all digital now.
Hmm.
So it's just
it's semantics.
A phrase, just a word.
It's semantics.
So I can call it a movie still?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think movie is actually more appropriate, really.
Yeah. Does the Panada still have a film projector?
Not in use. Actually, it was Eric that actually that got the theater their digital 4K projector.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. But it still exists. So if somebody came through with like a
no, it's actually in another. They still have their original film projector, from what I understand, back from probably the 30s or 40s in the basement.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and it actually works off of an arc, kind of like a welder's torch.
Huh.
Yeah. It's quite beautiful, actually. It's really a beautiful piece of artwork.
Wow. Well, you guys should break that out every once in a while, you know? let's watch Casablanca on film sometime.
With the old, I don't know. And then sometimes in the movie they'll be showing a movie, and then it all of a sudden the film melts and disintegrates, gets so hot and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Gems in the gate. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that's more of a misnomer than anything.
Oh.
I think that pretty much didn't happen. Although maybe back in the day, like 50s or 60s, maybe, or in your high school history class.
Yes.
For those of us that had films projected in our history class.
I have been in at least one movie theater back in the day, but it stopped working, it was a film that froze, and then it kind of did that. It had that weird effect, and then we all had to leave the theater for like 20 minutes.
Oh.
And then it came back in and finished it, but it really broke things up. I mean, really kind of changed the experience. That's all I remember about the movie was that.
And you don't remember what movie it was?
No, some dumb movie from, you know, probably 2002 or something like that, whatever was coming out then.
So are there other filmmakers or movie makers from Idaho that have submitted and are going to be seen on Sunday?
Yes, we actually have Nancy Hanks. She's out of Wallace. She was the first one to contact me when she found out it was going to be a little film festival this year. And she's delightful. She's submitted before, and she's going to be bringing her crew and cast from Wallace.
Oh.
Mm.
She has a film called Dimensions.
Do you have any particular favorites this year? Anything you want to kind of describe as the what to look out for?
This year was especially good. There are a lot of fine films this year. So it went from 1 to 10 this year.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot that were just not cutting it. And so many here, many of them that are very, very good.
Yeah. The length ranges from what? There's one that's 5 minutes, I know. Is that about average, or are they mostly a little longer than that, or what are they coming in at?
1 minute to 20. Our longest film this year would be 17 minutes.
Okay. And the shortest? Do you have any 1 minute?
1 minute.
Oh, really? What's that one?
This one's called Oops, and it's from the United States. It's an animation.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Oh, so is there any other animation in the festival?
Oh, there are. These are animation, documentaries, and narrative.
Oh, okay. Those are the three categories.
Yes.
Why don't you explain to our listeners about what you do with those 2010 submissions in order to winnow it down and choose the ones that are actually going to be shown?
Sure. So the first criteria is really a G or a PG rated. It's not really rated. I just look at it through those eyes. And the storyline is really what I look at, what Eric's taught me. So it's really basically, it's me looking through the films. And I do look at each and every one for at least a minute. And then you can pretty much tell in a minute where the film is going. Then I'll take a longer look at it.
And then who are the other people that are taking a look and ranking their top three, and you go from there?
I have three people who take a look for me and then decide numbers. So there's a little chart, and everything's rated from costuming to sound, and then the numbers are added up, and then it's first animation, documentary, and narrative.
If I can pipe in there, I give Janice a massive amount of credit. I tried to help her 1 year watching these films, and I think I got through the first 10. And then I looked at the additional 1990 films.
I have to say this. You know, I had such fun with Eric. I'm really missing him this year because we had such fun going through these films together. And I would call Eric thinking, oh, I found the perfect film. Eric, you're going to love this. Call me as soon as you watch it. Okay. So he'd call me back. Did you love it? Was it great? Well, it was okay. Just when I thought I knew, you know, what to look for. But he would rate the films as a 1, 2, or 3 martini film.
That's funny.
We're talking to Janice Jarzebeck, Jimmy Matlows, and Rob Lindener about the 11th annual Sandpoint Film Festival coming up Sunday, October 29th at the Panda Theater from 4 to 6 p.m. and then 7 to 9 p.m. So it's the full afternoon and evening, but a nice little break for dinner there. Gosh, what happens at 6? Does it, everybody runs to the restaurants that are close to the Panda Theater?
Restaurants, bars.
Yeah. But it's 30, you said 31 films, I think? Yeah,
31 films.
31 short films. Is it a juried competition? Will there be prizes or anything like that for the winners?
No prizes.
There's just no winner of the Sandpoint Film Festival?
Bragging rights.
Okay.
We'll do a first animation, documentary, and narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be 2 audience choice awards.
Oh, okay. So there, the audience gets little cards or something like that to fill out? Or just go by applause?
Oh, no. We'll do ballots.
Okay.
We'll do ballots and count.
It'll all be proper.
Do it correctly.
Okay. What makes you want to do this? What do you like about putting together the Sandpoint Film Festival?
Well, this started back in, I think, 2008 with Carla Peterman called me and asked me if I wanted to join some film group. I said, I know nothing about film.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you're organized. So can you join in? So I said, sure, why not? And at that time, Ted Parvin was here and a couple of other filmmakers. So we had a lot of fun around town making short films.
Mm-hmm.
And then that group was kind of dissolving and we had already turned it into a 501c3 and I didn't want to let it just go away.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked it up and tried to continue on. Then Fred and Trevor Greenfield were here for 4 years with Lake Dance and I helped them with that. That was a feature film festival.
Mm.
5 days. It was big.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, Trevor called me and he said, I'm leaving. We're going to Seattle. And I said, I'm gonna do a film festival. I've got this nice little tidy 501c3. So I just grabbed any films I could around town from friends I knew and put them on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of took off from there. Then Eric joined me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the fun began.
Yeah.
And the learning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just kept it alive.
Yeah.
Back around that 2008 time when Carla was involved, Bob Hahn was involved too.
Yes.
And Carla called. Carla and I are kind of neighbors, and they wanted to film a scene inside of our house. And it was the movie that had a lot of shooting done down in the old cemetery on the Lakeview Cemetery down.
Yes.
Yeah. And so they came with their cameras and their microphones. I think Bob was doing sound and filmed this little scene inside our house and then went on their way. And it was probably around 2008, something like that. Yeah.
Do you remember what that was?
I don't know the name of it.
Sounds good.
I've got Bob's number. We could find out. Right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Just plain Bob?
Just plain Bob. Saturday nights, 5 to 7 on KRFY.
If Bob's listening, he could always text you, Jack.
That's
right.
Let
you know the name of that movie.
Yeah, that would be better than a phone call right now. I'll just turn off the ringer in case he does want to call. What was I going to ask next? I don't know. So the film festival, you don't have a background in filmmaking or anything like that. You just kind of...
My background's in nursing.
Yeah, but you're organized.
I am very organized.
She's a nurse, and she's got patients at home, and so she can say, let's put a movie on.
I don't know about patients at home.
Yeah.
All those puppies.
Yeah. Do you... how many films would you consider, like, local of the 31 that are in here?
Well, 4 because Jimmy has two, Rob has one, and then Nancy Hanks. However, Deborah McShane got a hold of me and said, we have a film. I said, well, send it. And she did, and it's No Experience Necessary, and it's a darling film, and she's the star, and it's just a delightful little comedy that she made. I believe she lives in on the East Coast in Florida now with her sisters.
Okay, but semi-local.
Semi-local.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to love it.
Okay. I have the website open now, sandpointfilmfestival.com, and the movie posters are posted there. Very neat. Is it a mix of about 10 of each, animation and documentary and narrative filmmaking?
Well, it's close.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are more animations this year than usual.
Okay. But still a mix.
It is a mix.
Yeah.
And is there a charge to go see the film festival?
Well, suggested $10 donation. If you don't have $10, come anyway.
Okay. That's very reasonable.
Film festivals, unless you can, or Sundance.
Yeah.
People still really don't understand what a film festival is, I feel. So this is just an effort to bring quality films to Sandpoint from around the globe and locally. For people to enjoy. There's no money in this.
Yeah.
So that's... you pay to put on a film festival, really.
Yeah. Is the Panada kind of the group putting it on? Or who puts this... Who sponsors this? Who how do you get the money to put this all together?
Pacific Northwest Law.
Okay.
Pacific there's some Northwest tie to
law.
That. Yes. Yeah, there's some tie.
Yeah. Okay.
And all those sponsored by Pacific Northwest Law, it says on the program, with much love and gratitude to Joe Jarzebeck, Doug Jones, Rob Linder, Bernice Webb, Carla Peterman, Eric Ridgway, Oli Ryback, Panada Theater staff, the Panada Theater board members, the Panada volunteers, and all the filmmakers for their fine submissions.
Let's take a quick break here, a little musical trip back in time, and then we'll come back one more time to wrap up and give you those details about the film festival again. And I will talk a little bit about the upcoming event or the POAC event, which is coming up this weekend, and for which we have some tickets to give away. Haha! So, stay tuned. On this date in 2013, meaning 10 years ago today, Lorde, L-O-R-D-E, was at the time, the youngest person ever to have a number one hit on the Billboard charts. And she was also simultaneously number one over in the U.K., here is that song from 10 years ago. It's called Royals. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. We'll be right back.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. That was Lorde from 2013. She was at the top of the charts on this date, and I guess that makes her 27 now, because she was 17 when that was a hit. It's
is that modern math? 17 plus 10 is 27.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, I think so. It's Jack. That's me. Carrie's here. Carrie Logan, and we're here with Janice Jarzebeck, Jimmy Matlows, and Rob Lindener. From the 11th annual Sandpoint Film Festival, Janice runs the show, and Jimmy and Rob both have films in the film festival. What were we just going to say? We were kind of going to talk about the future. What's the 12th? What's the 15th? What's the 20th Sandpoint Film Festival in your imagination?
I like that 20. Uh-huh. Yeah, that works for me.
Okay.
I think, it will continue on and just see where it goes, see who steps up and wants to join in.
Yeah. short films. I think you mentioned Lake Dance was a feature film festival that was here for a little while. Has anybody talked about trying to bring something like that back? Or,
well, I haven't spoken with anyone who wants to do that. It's a big undertaking to rent the Panada for 5 nights.
Yeah.
And to do that much. Fred and Trevor really did a good job. They rented the boat on the lake for cruises. They had breakfasts. They had, you know, gatherings, and it was big. They were here for 4 years, and then they left, and I haven't heard from them since.
Yeah. It'd have to be a summertime thing, I would think, because the Panada is pretty booked up, like 9 months of the year.
Well, it is, and I'll tell you, part of the reason why I do this, and it was always the first week of November, is because the prices for the hotels went down. And it was also a time where the beach was not available. It's too cold and the mountain's not open yet. So it was a good time to go watch shows and
yes.
the theater.
Yeah. Good thinking. Yeah. Good scheduling. Let's see. It's Halloween next weekend, or next Tuesday, I should say. Not next weekend. Anything scary in the film festival this year?
Not a thing.
No? What about Alone? Alone is not scary?
It's a deep thinking film, I'll tell you that. I don't think it's frightening. It's
because I'm judging it by the poster here.
It's designed to be very abstract.
Okay.
It's abstract.
Yeah. And I know also, Jimmy's, I think your reputation is sort of as a scary kind of a movie maker, too.
No, actually not. No? I don't migrate towards horrors at all. In fact, I still can't watch The Exorcist.
Oh, no. I've never seen that.
Don't bother.
You do have a knitted cap with skulls on it.
Uh-huh. Well, it's Halloween. It's
seasonal.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's nothing too spooky, nothing too scary in here. And everything's kind of okay for maybe not like tiny little kids, but for audiences of all ages if they have the patience to sit through it.
So nothing beyond PG 13, right?
Nothing beyond PG-13. However, one film that I received from Russia, Putin's Creation. This man is actually in fear for his life, sending me this film, and he's been communicating with me and actually stating that he is ashamed of his country. It's a pretty big statement for somebody living there. So that might be over some heads of some children.
Yeah.
As well as some of the other ones. Let's see here.
It's sort of adult subject matter, but not necessarily frightening or anything.
Somnia Taurus is regarding albino people and how they're dissed, if you will.
Mm.
A film from Poland, very well done. Open Sesame, film from Lebanon regarding a bank heist where a woman is actually recovering her own monies that had been taken from her.
Huh. Look at that. I see some of the animation posters that do look very children friendly. But is that deceptive?
No, that's true. They are child friendly.
Yeah.
Some are regarding the pollution of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. That's that'd be this one with the fish on the poster,
right.
I guess. Yeah, just a guess. Okay, let's. I guess. Do you guys, Jimmy and Rob? I feel like did we shut you out of the conversation? Anything else you wanted to say about your own films or it plans for future movies that you're going to be making? Anything like that?
Oh, there's always going to be something. I'm sure Jimmy can attest to that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I did start the Idaho Film Company with the plans of actually raising money and making films here in North Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Since COVID, it's obviously been interesting to do that, and now that COVID's done, maybe we can actually get some films and employ some people up here.
Hey, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good idea.
That's business. How do you go about that?
Just like any small business, you come up with your concept, your blueprint, your plans, and you write a script, and then you go out there and look for investors privately. It's interesting because there's probably more investors up here in North Idaho than there would be in L.A. because in L.A., every single person has a script and everybody mm-hmm. wants it made.
I see.
I'm a big fish in a small pond up here. So the goal is to meet as many potential investors as possible to bring these films to the forefront and actually get them made. And like I said, this will theoretically, this will be an influx of cash into the environment of Sandpoint and employ everyone from, you know, someone that works at Home Depot to a part-time electrician, all the way up to full-time employees for that time period. Yeah, it's very much a small business model, and our plan is to do multiple films here. Thank you for giving me that platform to speak about that.
So, well, are you just waiting for the right script to come in front of your eyes?
Oh, no, somebody, I have five finished screenplays, one that I'm pursuing more than the others. It's a werewolf-based film with a touch of wolf awareness and the mythology behind werewolves and where that came from, as well as how wolves got demonized by, you know, song, literature, children's stories, you name it. Wolves are demonized. Somewhere between being demonized and being being embraced, I think, should be the answer. I mean, wolves are dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I've never met a person who doesn't like a dog. And if I did meet them and didn't like a dog, I probably wouldn't be friendly with them.
Absolutely.
Rob, anything specific on your horizon for movie making? You just want to see how people react to Cosmic Taxi?
You know, I just like making stories.
I
enjoy that. And mainly I just like it when people come out of their places and they come to an event like this and mm-hmm. share in the community and enjoy this kind of art form. And since COVID, I feel like that's been a thing that's been diminishing somewhat mm-hmm. in places everywhere where maybe people shut in a little bit more than they had before.
Yeah.
And I'm all about relationships and I'm all about community and the storytelling aspect of that and having all of those things come together. And so I love the festival for that fact alone.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as filmmaking, oh yeah, sure. I'm mm-hmm. sure something else will come up and I'll need to tell it. Mm-hmm. And that's where this comes down to. It's not for me, it's not for money or for anything else. It's my art.
Yeah.
In some cases, it's what's the word? Like you have to do it to fulfill a need for something, whatever that is.
Well,
your passion.
Yeah,
that's not the right word, but
to express yourself.
All of that. Yeah.
Catharsis.
Catharsis.
Yeah,
that's it. That too.
I thought that might be part of it.
Thank you.
Word of the day.
Yeah. On a related note, I guess I was talking about people going to movies. How often do you guys find yourselves in a movie theater going to the movies these days?
Well, Sandpoint is a challenge.
Yeah.
Luckily, the...
that's certainly true.
Eric, mm-hmm. I can't remember his last
Plummer.
Name. Eric Plummer took over the theater over in Ponderay,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful, and he's actually just a pretty amazing guy, and it was a childhood passion of his.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a bit of a challenge getting mm-hmm. out to the theater and seeing, you know, and I think a lot of it is films nowadays. I mean, I was talking to a guy 25 years old yesterday, and, you know, you kind of feel like, okay, I'm an old curmudgeon.
Yeah.
I love the films from the 80s and 90s. Mm. And even this 25-year-old is like, yeah, everything's terrible.
Mm.
It's become very manufactured. It's become like McDonald's. And I think we all want a gourmet meal mm-hmm. when we go to a movie. And a lot of it is, you know, when you think about some movies, like if you think about Stand By Me, if you're scrolling through Netflix and Stand By Me comes on, you'll watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've
mm-hmm.
seen it 20, 30 times. Mm-hmm. You know the dialogue, but there's mm-hmm. a comfort in it. More nowadays, there's not. I mean, like Everything Which Way, everything was that movie that came out last year, right? Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes.
Great mm-hmm. movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see myself going back and watching it more than a couple times. I mean, you get whiplash watching it.
Yeah.
And you feel tired. Whiplash is, and it, actually, he Rob yeah. just mentioned the film Whiplash. I mean, what yeah. an amazing film. So that's one of those yeah. films that low budget, independent, beautifully made. You can watch it again and again. But yeah, I think those are the kind of films that I want to make. The ones that harken back to connectivity between humans. We want to connect with the human spirit, the human adventure, the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel films, You know, I don't know how to connect with that.
Yeah. Get that on a treadmill and manufacture those puppies. It sounds like what you're describing is heart.
Yeah, have a soul. Yeah. You know, a lot of the Marvel films is, I think even a big filmmaker said, it's they fight and they fight. It's kind of like Itchy and Scratchy, if you remember that on Simpsons, right?
Yeah.
They fight, they fight, they fight, they fight, they fight. That's what a lot of these Marvel films are, and they're so formulaic. And granted, they're not made for people over, I don't know, 22.
Yeah.
But
I think that era seems like it's finally over, or has crested and is coming back down. I mean, this year the Marvel movies were not in the top five this year, I don't think. Maybe they were. I don't know. Barbie was the big one. We had Oppenheimer. Killers of the Flower Moon just came out. That's getting good reviews. Oh, yeah. I don't know. There's some movies kind of coming back, but that are not outside of the, not just Marvel, but the kind of the cinematic universe, experience, whatever. Outside of the constant sequel and, sequel reboot. Series, yeah.
Maybe this is a larger conversation that you and I have, Jimmy, but it seems like it's a lot about what the studios want to spend the money on, too. And they're in a different realm now, too, since COVID, aren't they?
From my assessment, from where I stand and from what I read, it's, they've been guessing about filmmaking for years.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what makes a great film or why more people would show up for a film. Nobody knows that equation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Barbie was pretty much baked in, so a lot of times what they do is what's called IP, intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
They'll invest in intellectual property to launch a film. But then when you see a movie like Get Out, which, it was pretty good. It's like some people may love it, some people may not. Was it the kind of film you'd go back and watch 20 times? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it did remarkably well. And it wasn't based upon anything previously made, nothing previously written or known, or even Jordan Peele at the time was kind of an unknown other than his TV show. Mm-hmm. But his TV show was comedy. So nobody knows anything.
Sweet.
Well, that means it's wide open.
Yeah.
Yes. Hopefully you can find, the key is to find those investors that believe in, I mean, just like business, right? The way business works is people don't invest in a business. They invest in you as a human being. You've convinced them that what you talk about, that you connect on some level with somebody. So with the studios, there's no human level there. It's businesses and businesses who all think they want to make money or lose money. A lot of times, people invest in businesses to lose money. And a lot of the studios lose a lot of money. They're gambling. I mean, they canceled, was it Batgirl? Was that the movie? Yeah.
After it was completely
made. That one seemed like a win, for sure.
Yeah, $100 million movie with a female lead who's quite attractive. You'd think, okay, that would bring in another $100 million, but somebody said no.
Yeah, she's got great acting chops, too. I mean, she already had people knowing her.
Yeah.
She already had people knowing her. She's got good chops, so... That was a bummer too.
Well, I feel like we're just getting rolling on something here, but we gotta stop. It's
for another day, Jeff.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back for further conversations about the movies. Actually, that is something I've been wanting to do on the show, is sort of a end of year movie recap or something like that. What came out this year, and then let that go into talking about other aspects of. Movies, but we got to talk about...
Sounds like a good program.
We do film chat.
Should we do...
With Jack.
I have to do film the POAC. We have to talk about the POAC event coming up this weekend, but maybe first I'll let you guys give one more time the details. Somebody tell us again about the Sandpoint Film Festival, how you can get in, where it is, when it is, and everything else.
Sure. Sandpoint Film Festival 11 will be Sunday, October 29th. At the Panetta Theater on two blocks of different movies, 4 till 6, and then again at 7 till 9. I hope to see you there.
Thank you very much.
Coming
up this weekend at the Panetta Theater, the Pondere Arts Council presents an evening that bridges musical and cultural borders with the second show of their 2023-2024 performing arts season, Jarabe Mexicano, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, comes to the Panda Theater this Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., a lively performance centered around the season of Dia de los Muertos, a holiday coinciding with Halloween. The eclectic quintet is based in Los Angeles, takes audiences on a musical joyride with their irresistible blend of Mexican folk rock and rock and Tex-Mex, rock and roll, and reggae cumbia. Cumbia? Okay.
Wow, that's a mix.
Yeah. tickets are available at artinsandpoint.org or by calling 208-263-6139. And we happen to have a pair of tickets to give away right here at KRFY. So if you'd like to call this radio station as soon as I start the music, I will pick up the phone and you can tell me who you are and we will arrange for those tickets to get into your hands. You can go see Jarabe Mexicano this weekend at 7:30 on the 28th.
What's that phone number again?
The phone number for KRFY that you'll want to know is 208-265-2992. Thank you, Carrie. 208-265-2992. One more thing about movies. We're going to play a song that was at number one on this date 25 years ago. And I think it's very possible that this was the last movie that was the highest grossing movie of a calendar year that was not based on previously existing material, was not a sequel, a reboot, based on a book, or anything like that. Just an original movie that came to the big screen and was the highest grossing movie of the year. It was 1998. Does anyone know the movie?
Ooh.
25 years ago.
Titanic?
No. That's a year earlier, I think.
Good guess.
Shoot, good guess. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Armageddon.
Oh, and the, man.
I wonder why we forgot.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's not a great film. It's kind of depressing that that's the case. But then after that, it starts with everything starts. Aerosmith was the band. Mm-hmm. The song is I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. It was a big hit 25 years ago. Give us a call at 208-265-2992. And you can score a couple of tickets to the Jarabe Mexicano performance coming up this weekend at the Panda Theater put on by POAC. And here's Aerosmith.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile.